Okay, so do we start?
Sounds right. Like a good idea.
It sounds like a great idea. Okay, so...
I'm not the only one.
The handout's up on the counter.
Thank you.
Oh, I
actually had to
put it out.
No, it doesn't matter.
I didn't read it.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and do the start out with roll call. Frank DeFilippis. President.
I'm Russell Beck.
Peggy Hawker.
Pete Blossom.
Ann Siglio.
David Young.
Okay, so I guess if Charlie and others show up, we'll just announce their arrival.
Right.
And, you know, the agenda, I think everybody knows that you have the RFP, the draft RFP that we wanted to review. That the, I guess the breakout work session came and put together. Now, Ann, who all worked on that?
Charlie and Dave.
Charlie and I,
three of us.
Okay.
Has this been available for a while?
As of last night.
Yeah, so.
I just sent it out this morning to everybody.
I think I made some of Dave's changes early this morning, sent it to her, and then she sent it out.
Well, I just want to say thank you for doing that. It's great. So, where do you want to start? You want to start out page one and just go through the background?
Actually, let me start with a comment first.
Okay.
One of the things on my list was to get a copy of the next report from Georgia Pacific. They did a September sampling and analyses of, I guess, sediments and water and that sort of thing. And so I sent Carl Schumacher an email and say, hey, where is this? And he sent an email back saying, yes, the Aleutians final report has not been released yet, but will be soon. So that was July 20th. So hopefully we will yet see the next final report, so to speak, from the September-October study.
Was that not included in the presentation then?
No, they had only done, they only presented the spring.
Okay.
And they had done a fall sampling as well, and we've never seen any fall results or anything.
So when Carl said it wasn't released yet, does that mean that it's still DEQ still has it, or GP still has it?
This is all he said. It is this one little blue line is what he said, which is as non-committal as you can get.
So would the report change our approach with the RFP?
I don't think so.
Okay.
All we would do is maybe add on another line that said fall and spring samples were similar, different, or whatever.
One thing, this draft doesn't have yet a list of references that we need to add.
Okay. Oh, that's your job. No.
We're talking, referring to this report.
Okay, so the final report, and that would be the fall of 2010?
Correct.
Okay. And so an action item would be, they said that they were going to just, do they typically solicit that to the city, or would it take somebody from this task force to
They'll give it to us. I'll ask them. Do you want a presentation like you had last time?
It wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, probably. It wouldn't be a bad idea. But Carl did it last time. He could do it this time. I mean, it's some
level. They had the CH2 of Hill guy.
Oh, yeah. He did half of it. That's right. That's right.
So.
I'll ask him.
Okay, so
they won't want to pay for it.
They won't. That's right. And the city probably wouldn't pay for it.
Okay, so we have one action, one decision. Action is that City of Newport's going to follow up with GP for the report. The decision is, yeah, we'll go ahead and ask for a presentation.
And see what happens.
Yeah. And it may not happen until, I remember the coordination of the last meeting took about 2 months to do, to get the the planets lined up. So that would probably put us to the October time frame.
If it's finished. Yeah, they probably wouldn't put it together until it's finished.
So, any other comments or questions for Nathan? Okay, well then I'm going to turn it over to the group to put the RFP together.
I'll do the first two pages. They're easy. I guess the first page at some level is almost boilerplate in that I took it out of their final report, the first page, and also the map that shows the outfall. So there, I guess I would say there was nothing in them, along with the maybe the first half of the third page as well. It isn't until we get kind of down towards objectives that we're actually being totally new and different.
My only comment was, you cite RMZ up at the top, so you need an R in all these places. I'll give you this copy.
Okay.
That's editorial.
Yes. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Oh, someone's at the microphone. Could somebody just...
That's probably true.
And if that buzzer goes off, just
sound
ignore
off
it.
Sound off an alarm? Is it an alarm?
No.
Okay.
What's the password? I guessed who it was.
Tuesday.
You can get your stuff up there.
Sorry, I'm running late again.
Yeah. Okay, the password is plastic bag ban, right?
Charlie,
you
have
my radio today.
Just joined the meeting, so... And we're just starting into overview of the RFP, or the draft RFP. You know, one thing that I had a question, so you were going to do reference, you said it would be good to do reference where you got the data. Would, this may be more of a long question, and is the verbiage or anything in that report copyrighted so that we can use?
No, he said that when I last talked to Carl Schumacher, he basically said that in the end it was all going to be public domain.
It's a public document.
Cool.
It's been a DEQ, hasn't it?
What's that?
That report.
Yeah, it's part of Schedule D permit requirement for DEQ's past permit that they did, so that would make it up in the public domain.
Okay.
If you went out and sold it, you might be in trouble, but
well,
just
here,
to use it isn't the problem.
Well, what I, in my, where I do work, we have to be very sensitive to passing information off to potential competitors. If this is something going out for a bid, if this report was generated by a potential bidder, then maybe. But there's no conflict of interest in it.
Yeah, I think that I even said somewhere down in there that he had said something and was going to add more in, and I said, don't bother, we'll just give him a copy of the report, mm-hmm. or give them a CD of it.
Okay. Speaking of which,
here's an extra one of Charlie's that I borrowed one time. I made a copy of it.
Okay.
The city has that report.
Sure.
Once it comes to the city, it is a public record.
Yeah. Okay. Just thought I'd ask.
And the other trick is, if you will, is that the whether it's the same bidder or not, they're going to want the data. And some of the data would be of use, you know, what's already been done, et cetera. So, I guess somewhere in this thing I said something to the effect of, I said available by request. That's what I said. Okay, so I did actually cite it in this thing that called study site down there.
And honestly, I mean, anybody who's going to put in a proposal for this is going to be able to figure out how to find this on their own.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even have to ask us. They sure. Really figure it out. So.
Okay. So you covered the first two pages, or?
Right. Essentially, the first two and a half pages, if you will, came out of the executive report.
So I have one comment, not having even read the whole thing, but it seems like before you talk about the benthic infauna sampling, it would be good to just summarize the results of the chemical analysis.
Okay.
Just to establish that they didn't find
low levels of
I didn't see it, and make the statement that nothing was above.
That would be just before objectives.
No, before benthic.
Before benthic.
So in other words, the results of the chemical sampling weren't. And benthic sampling was for community structure, but not for biocumulation. You do say that.
There's a mention of it in the preceding paragraph. Just essentially very loosely defining what the study did, collected field data representative of the benthic community and physical and chemical conditions in the outfall.
No, I'm talking about results.
Well, I think this is another one of those areas. Do we want to start copying and pasting the report into this, or do we want to reference
it? Well, I think it's important for the, if you're going to bid on this, to know that what was found was identifiable but very low levels of a variety of contaminants.
Well, that could be important for whoever's bidding to read the report.
I mean, it is distinct from, oh my God, look at what we found here. So are we going into a polluted environment or a heavily polluted environment?
I question how much of the data from the report we want to include versus
just giving them
them a reference.
Oh no, I'm just talking about make a general statement.
Okay.
Well, contaminants were generally were
okay.
We're all at levels below.
And they had already did
say
that.
What those
Anne,
guidelines were. Did you?
Pete, Anne said somewhere. Said that copper and ammonia were above certain standards before dilution.
I can't remember.
But lower than after dilution.
Well, let's proceed on and maybe a reference point.
It's in this paragraph. Yeah.
The second paragraph.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I think
the
comments, if we add it. And you don't want to get into a position of disproving one or the other. Do we accept the GP report? And is it a duplicative effort if we're asking somebody to do the same type of study?
But we're not.
Okay.
That's the whole point of this.
Yeah, we're just saying this is what was done very generally.
Sure.
And very generally, this is what was found. And I feel like we've addressed that well enough in that paragraph. But does that paragraph cover what you think?
Yeah, that's fine. I just haven't had a chance to read it.
Okay.
So I was skimming through it. I didn't quite pick that up.
Okay, so I'm going to strike that as an action then, and then just put reference material GP report.
I think everybody needs to take the time to read this too and say. Is it inclusive? Is there extra data you guys want to include or not? We discussed this at length when we were kind of in our subcommittee of trying to just generalize these statements. And these are from the executive summaries of each section of the. Essentially, that's what these are, right? So we pulled the executive summaries that I had flagged out of each section of the. Report.
Yeah, but that's fine.
In other words, if they really seriously are bidding on it, one presumes they will get the report and study it, or have a look at it. If it isn't, and if it's the same group that did it already, they're going to be two steps ahead, we hope.
Okay, so the objectives.
Right, is
have some comments
on that. Is more new.
I have some comments.
Okay.
Yeah, as in any committee, we go back and forth and people have different amounts of time, different times. This number one says, to determine if there's a bioaccumulation of effluent-borne pollutants such as resins, lignin degradation products, phenolic compounds, and so on. And in what market survey I was able to do, chemists that I know and trust, their professional opinion just said they don't know how to do resins and lignin degradation products. And so
I'll tell them to look at my doctoral thesis for lignin degradation.
Well, if you want to cite that, but
how's that for being mean?
We do want to keep in mind.
That was
cost.
70s.
I did find out that phenolic compounds can be done, but I would suggest taking out resins and lignin degradation products because I wouldn't know how to go about specifying the analysis.
So do we want to take it back and...
Well, or how about I'll have another look and see.
Okay.
I have a general question, and we still got some editorial stuff going on, although we made a lot of progress. If we make changes to this, we're going to have a whole other round with the committee.
Well, I would think that this is the process as I understand it, and then the city can correct me, but what we have is a description of what we want done, and then the city will then attach it to their boilerplate and release it for bid. So we have to have a clear, concise scope of work, what we were asking any vendor or bidder to do. And so if one of the things that, I'm not a subject matter expert, you guys are, but if it's, is the tone of the bid or the request for bid more of a, test these specifics, or is it look for best practices? That's one thing that cried out to me is not knowing some of these two, because some of the tools, techniques may have changed, or we're talking about leaders in industry that will look for non-specific pieces, and they may come back with more than what you're looking for. So, your question is if we strike this and make changes to the draft, I would say yes. If we make changes offline without the approval of everybody moving it forward to the next step, then yes, we would.
But we could discuss them here and then just correct the grammar.
Yeah, if you can.
Well, yeah.
Make those questions online, sure.
Right. I haven't seen their boilerplate, but I assume that some of that she would take care of anyway, right?
Who's gonna do this? Who's gonna translate this?
Probably
into?
Me.
Yeah.
Are we gonna get a chance to take a look?
Well,
at
I hope so. I mean, I would think that if you can get through this document tonight, we can put it into our boilerplate, bring it back to you. You could meet maybe sooner rather than later, and
we present sure. that, and we're gonna eventually present that to the council. Is that correct?
Well, are you gonna present that document to the council,
yeah.
or are you gonna present?
I had to go back to our original charge, but I wasn't clear to me whether my original charge was to create this then present it to council, or whether or not it was to directly go out for a bid at that point.
I will have to check that on the resolution that created this task force, but my thinking was that it would go directly from this committee out.
Okay.
And then you would receive the proposals and then make a recommendation on the proposal to council.
That's,
is that your recommendation?
That's my understanding.
Okay.
Okay. So the sooner we get it out, the better.
And then when you get back the proposals, then you would this would be a part of the one of the documents that goes to council so that they can see the RFP and they can see the results of what came in.
Okay.
Okay, so
I would suggest striking just from this is page was page
oh, okay.
three
yeah.
striking the words
resins and,
resins and okay. striking degradation products but you can then leave the rest as it is.
But you could say lignin products, you said?
No, take that out too.
Take that out.
Yeah. I just don't know how to do this, how those would be done.
Well, mostly they're phenolics.
Yeah, so, well, so
it's,
we'll just
it's
leave.
It's almost a little redundant.
Okay, so, if, so no objection to just having it read such as phenolic compounds, and then it goes on.
I don't have an objection. I don't know the specifics of that well enough. And so since this is Anne's piece, and she obviously has a doctoral thesis
on that. On an accident.
If there's preferred language here that you feel like is going to cover your phenolic compounds,
that's close enough.
Okay.
Because the breakdown products are mostly phenolic compounds.
Okay.
But you also get naphthalenes and some other things like that.
So we all agree on.
So here's a question.
Okay.
Not having read it again, is there anywhere in here a concise description of which compounds we want analyzed, or should
I've only done that for metals, but I don't know the phenolic compounds.
This is as close as you get, target analytes.
I did it for metals.
And are these things based on what we would expect to be problems from the chemical analysis,
that's really one of the toughest questions to answer is whether a change represents how much of a threat a change represents. I mean, if there's an elevation, how much some of these things don't have, a lot of things don't have standards.
I can't remember what levels of PCBs they found.
Well,
I can't remember.
PCBs used to be two part per billion, and my market survey that hasn't changed since then. There's been a wealth of papers showing that certain parts of PCBs, called congeners, specific compounds, the more closely they're structured to the dioxin-like compounds, the more damaging they are. And but I'm not aware that they've actually had standards. So in a way, we're producing a survey which could be interpreted then by the reader, depending upon what the literature says.
All right. So I'm just thinking in terms of specifying the work so that somebody doesn't come in with, because we have a limited budget.
Right.
So if they're going to try to analyze for 500 compounds, there's going to be a different proposal from somebody who comes in with 50. So can we, to what extent do we want to guide them in that?
For the trace elements and that kind of thing, he put down something like 28 analytes, in other words, 28 compounds. Mercury was its own, and for the PCBs, he put in 50 congeners. So,
and then... made an attachment. I don't know if it's legal or not. This is what I've worked up today. This is
that's fine.
And I did send it. Well, I tried to send it to you guys. I'll send it again. But I don't think I did attach it. This is the only case, Pete, when I my market survey, I've come up with a list. Now, some of these things are not toxic, I'm informed that if you do that, the most efficient. That an efficient way to do this kind of analysis is through a technique called inductively coupled plasma
mass
spectrometry, and then basically you get
you can do them all at once,
do them
exactly.
all at once kind of thing.
Right.
So
and they'll use a ready-made standard. They won't do an individual standard.
Right.
And if you notice, if you think about it, if I were to think about okay, one things I've heard of that might be toxic, well, arsenic, cadmium. Chromium, copper, lead, nickel, some people think selenium, silver.
Barium.
I don't know about barium.
No,
barium. I do
essential.
Know about barium.
Really?
Tin.
And zinc. You have to have a lot, don't you?
So, and then there's other elements in here which you get, and some of them are useful. For example, one of my biggest concerns is that the samples might not be prepared properly. For instance, the mucus on the outside of a fish may contain 1,000 or times as much lead per mass of material as does the muscle inside. It's one of the great issues of the 70s.
But we don't eat mucus outside.
I know, but I don't want somebody just carving into the fish and taking the contaminated mucus from the inside into the sample. And so I, 25 years ago, wrote a document, on how to cleanly sample fish for this kind of thing. And I'm going to summarize it here, but I've suggested in Appendix 2 I might put that in.
Okay. Well, so what you're suggesting is an approach to taking samples as well? Be part of their
The problem is not taking them, they're going to take these things out of the sediments. The problem is the sediment is probably going to be a lot more contaminated. Well, have higher concentrations of some of these elements than the tissue inside. It does raise the question what the average fisherman does on the fillet block. But I thought that we should try to get as clean a sample as we could inside. Just to see whether there's really contamination in there.
So we're only interested in the parts that we eat.
That's what I was thinking.
Because the organs of fish, some collect different things than the
flesh. There'll be higher concentrations in the digestive tissue, such as liver. But I just made the assumption that this was we call it recreational seafood.
That was, by the way, another problem that I had. It's not a lot of those guys out there aren't doing it for recreation.
Well,
I
didn't think they could fish commercially that close. Am I wrong about that, Pete? Do you know anything about that?
Yes, they can fish commercially that close. They can hook and line. There's a live fish.
So we take more recreational out and just put seafood.
Okay. So are we focusing on the recreational or on the human consumption species?
Well, I have an assumption, but I'm just following the lead here.
Because in the past we were talking about the idea of using mussels as test organs.
But mussels are the soft tissues are consumed.
That's true. Mm-hmm. But using them as a biochemical.
We have a fish monitor. And we have a crab. You don't eat the whole crab, you just eat the muscle tissue.
I think it's really need to be clear on, do you want to test the fish for the safety of eating, or do you want to test the fish for its own health and see if it's likely to die from bioaccumulation, or is it a danger to humans when humans consume the fish?
And we've already talked about, I think...
Maybe you've already talked about this whole thing, and I just...
No, I think what we've talked about is the fact that it's controversial to make statements that we really can't make about the seafood industry. And so we're going to call this thing, seafood coastal contamination bioaccumulation study, and then the report comes out and there's public findings in this. The title in itself is going to lend people to believe certain things. So I actually think it's more important to look at, fish in totality as an ecosystem for ecosystem health. I mean, that's what we're really, buried in that is what some people may try and take or try and further investigate for consumption. But I've said from the get-go, we're not going to be able to make a statement about the consumption of the fish.
That would be devastating, or could be devastating.
So if you're looking at ecosystem health, you're looking at the health of the fish.
So you take the whole organism.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my opinion, is you take the whole organism.
And not just look at the fillets.
Much easier that way.
You do composites on the whole.
That's the trivial change. I don't have to put it in an appendix then for how to clean
it. So it's the whole animal.
Well, this is up to the committee to decide. Are we a committee or a force?
You're a force.
We're a force to be reckoned with. There's a reason to learn both. If it's in part of the food chain in the ocean, it's going to the next animal. There's also the question about what it is we eat. Yeah. So
sure. So.
But you can't. In my analysis of the way of sampling is that I propose, we don't have the money to do that.
which that's another part I don't see in here is a indication of what the budget is.
Yeah, I purposely didn't put that in. I can explain why. There's a controversy in recent months about how much is public document, and I want to be careful about not perturbing the bidding process by bringing too much to the table here. We want to leave the bidding to the proposers. So I could only say that I didn't think that we could. I fell on Pete's point that the bids would come in much, much too high if we tried to do both the edible tissue and the whole organ, or we have to cut the sampling program in half, which we could do. We could, don't have to do two seasons. We could just do one season.
Oh, that was another potential thing that was in there that didn't come out real well. He had suggested two seasons, so, and that would cut it in half right there. But then, of course, the other thing is that there is a chance that, you know, when we see the proposals, we're just going to have to say, oops, we're going to have to cut it somehow. And that would be
one. But we're kind of jumbling the discussion. Yeah, the first discussion was, do you even want to do the edible fraction? Does that somehow make us liable? Which I gathered from your perspective.
This isn't a scientific study that we can definitively say, really, anything about. We're gathering information from the U.S. Submission Survey. And I'd say the exact same thing about the Georgia Pacific study. I mean, it's an ocean survey. It doesn't say, it's information for information's sake. And it can allow people to ask, I think, the greater question of, do we need to be concerned about seafood? And if another body is interested in taking that on, I think that's great, and they can go after it and do it. But I don't think that we have the expertise, nor the political will, to ask that scientific question here.
But it still gets back to the point, if it's a guidance document, is it more useful to use a whole fish or to use the edible part of the fish or crab?
Did you bring a copy of
the difference is the cost, right? Whole fish is going to cost more.
No, the difference is what question you asked. Do you want to know, is it safe to eat the fish?
Original letter?
Or do you want to know our chemicals in general by accumulating on the fish, on or in the fish?
And if in the case of the, if we were to select one of the, I mean, I propose three organisms covering three different phyla. One of them is a mollusk. In that case, it's the whole soft tissue, so it's the same thing there. Because nobody analyzes the shell with the hard shell with the tissue. But it turns out the whole soft tissues are what you eat with the, I guess. Well, actually, in the razor clam, you strip out the gut.
You strip out the clam. You don't eat the shell.
No, but with the gut. But the gut's the interesting part.
Yeah, that's what we need.
But the whole soft tissue of the muscles, if you take a mussel or a clam, don't you eat the whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
So it really depends on what your organism is as to what.
Well, I mean, if you're going to talk about that, I can talk about how one guy's going to eat his fresh and isn't going to strip the guts, and another guy's going to, you know, throw it in a bucket of water and let it flush its guts. I mean, that's way over specific, and in my opinion, I think we need to think, are we looking at target fish tissues that people eat, or are we looking at, you know, ecosystem health or indicators as a whole? And my opinion is that it's a lot less confusing, it's a lot less messy if we do ecosystem indicators as a whole, and with whole organisms. That's my opinion on this.
We'd have to rewrite some of this then about cleansing the outside of the fish and wiping off the sediment.
Yeah, but you didn't actually have that in there yet.
No, you're right, I was just proposing that there would be a section on how to dissect the fish cleanly. But if we're not dissecting the fish or the crab or the mussel, then just say you separate out the hard part of the mollusk and the crustacean. Now that raises another question. Do you not? Do you somehow mash up the whole crab? In which case you're going to mash up the whole clam too, or the mussel, and just say,
everything that's in there.
No, I would
say. Okay, so let's just
say soft tissue.
Soft tissue, yeah.
Soft tissue. Right. All the whole fish, and then on a crab or clam, soft tissue. Right?
Right.
Well, soft crab is still the guts and everything.
Well, how are we gonna do? I mean, you've apparently done this, Dave. How do you sample? How do you do a whole fish? Do you have to? I mean, if you're gonna do 10 fish, that's a bunch of stuff to digest somehow.
Yeah, you could end up using a lot of acid. There's some real practical considerations. I had gotten down to relatively small amounts of, well, one gram actually for metals. I was proposed 1 gram. I think I increased it to 5.
If we're looking at the food chain, a clam, the next whatever eats them leaves the shell. But
right.
a crab
eats the whole thing.
Eats the whole thing.
You've got a good point.
Yeah, but they don't eat the whole.
If we're talking
they don't
food
eat
chain.
The shell of the crab. They wait till the thing is, how do you say, shed the shell?
Molted
and grab it, yeah.
An octopus, when they eat the crab?
Yeah, they eat the shell. They crunch up the whole thing.
I think they do.
So
crab the whole animal?
I think so. I think we better stay with soft tissue.
Soft tissue?
Yeah, I think that once we include that.
But we can also, can you just throw in best practice? I mean, because again, those folks are going to go into what is, you know, you're going to have your minimum thresholds and then what is best. I mean, if they found that it's easy to, I don't know, throw the crab in the blender, I don't know what it
takes. I think we need to be specific about what it is we want.
Well, I'm afraid we do too, and it's obviously there's more than one way to think about doing it. Mm-hmm. I think we might agree on is that if you did a muscle, you do the whole soft tissues. But even with the clam, but even with the razor clam, it's what do you strip out the gut or not? And that brings up another question, which is the sediment contamination factor. It carries a lot of the trace metals. Sometimes the concentrations are hundreds of thousands of times higher per unit mass of sediment than they are of tissue. And so if you've got a sediment processing organism and you don't depurate the animal, then you've got an awful lot of possibility of having metals there that are not at all assimilated by the digestion process, or not totally.
Well, if the objective is to determine bioaccumulation, clearly those things are not bioaccumulating if the sediment is, you know,
it's really outside the organism, as I understand it. The GI tract is considered to be outside the organism.
Well, I mean, his best practice comment, though, kind of fits in there. In other words, you know, we could say, i.e., depuration of the animal before the soft tissue is taken. I mean, you do that even if you're going to eat it.
Yeah, I personally...
Not everybody. That's
all
my,
right.
That's my point. Okay. You know, it's like, that's not... You're like as if everyone's a culinary, you know what I mean? The way other animals eat other animals in the ocean, they're not fleshing the guts of these animals. And what we can say assimilates in one place or another, I think we're overthinking this, and for a number of reasons, not just that, but like, they've already done sediment analysis here.
Right.
What did the sediment analysis tell us?
It was
not that we had high concentrations of sediment. It was, you know, and so it... Are we really that concerned about sediment contamination, you know?
Actually, it would probably be dilution.
Okay,
in this case,
you want to know what the technical task force resolution says. Technical advisory task force will meet as necessary and be tasked with the following. A, assist the city in drafting grant guidelines and process for the purpose of soliciting proposals for the testing of ocean waters, habitat, beaches, and animals near the GP outfall. Okay, so that's basically a pretty good blanket there that tells you what it is. Review, evaluate, and make recommendations to the City Council regarding grant awards, and monitor work performed under grant awards. and evaluate the process established under this section 2 for future purposes and perform such other tasks related to the subject matter herein as may be requested by City Council.
So one thing it said is analyze the animals. No more further guidance.
The waters and habitats, beaches and animals. So we were just trying to define the animal parts, it's the whole animal.
I think we're tending toward that.
I guess I'm still not into the hard part. I mean, because like the mollusk shells, for example, are going to be...
I think that would exclude mollusks.
Oh, okay.
I would agree with Charlie there. But does it include the whole crab? So in other words, the vendor's going to take the crab and put it in a big blender or a big grinder.
Well, I think also the vendor might have done this before. We hope. You know, that's one of the things I'm a little frustrated with is how much of this do we leave up to the vendor and the proposals that we get back, and how much of this do we have to painstakingly...
Well,
they are the professionals, right?
Yeah, they address these same issues every project they're on, so they're probably doing different, depending on the client's needs.
And I kind of feel like, you know, that's part of our evaluation is... I feel like it's easier for us to evaluate what others may propose to answer our questions versus us trying to figure out how you answer the questions than giving that to these people and saying, answer these questions like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's fine with
me. I mean, I just feel, I don't have that expertise.
I agree, though. And I think we did, you know, somewhere down there, at the end, we have proposal qualifications and that kind of thing. And so...
But this is more method qualifications. This is specific methods. And I certainly hear what you're saying, Charlie. I don't have a problem with that. At some point we're going to have, but Pete has made another point, which is if we don't give enough guidance, the proposals may be all over the place, and we'll be comparing apples and oranges and grapes. And then we might be accused of not having been specific enough to give the...
Well, then you can...
And they're not qualified. See, you're asking for the solution design.
You could always fall back on what the resolution says. Yeah. You know, it gives you a pretty broad range here. And if you, in turn, put that in your RFP, not specifically that it's that you have a really broad recommendation, but... you don't get too specific, then you're going to be well within the range of the resolution, and I think that's all the council expects. And if you get a bunch of RFPs that are all over the place, then what do? We select two or three or four, or however many that seem reasonable and seem like they will answer the questions that we have.
I think we need to narrow it by the budget then.
There's one other thing that just came up with that, which is do we ask for pre-proposals and then get it down to three that we request full proposals from? I mean, that's another way of doing it is to do a two-stage thing, which
is that legal?
That's what we always used to do at EPA. I mean,
well, you're at EPA, that's what they do for a living, I would think. You'd have your certified vendors list, right? I don't think the city has a certified vendors.
No, we can go off vendors.
But can do that we would put in the RFP, it's a part of our template, is that you could have a pre-proposal meeting with potential vendors.
Sure.
That's a good idea. So that everybody is on the same page.
Right, and it gives everyone a chance to get together and hear everyone's questions.
Mm-hmm. Well, so the interested bidders would come to Newport and have a meeting?
Everybody in the same room at the same time.
Yeah, we would still have to have the answers. We'd have to have the answers to the things we're talking about.
You would definitely outline your intent, what you're looking for, and that it has to be in writing, and then the questions you want to answer. Is it, I think it says here, is it safe to swim in the water? Is it safe to eat the food around here?
Well, no, we can't say that.
Well, I think we've narrowed it down. I feel like we've narrowed it down to one pretty concise question regarding bioaccumulation of certain materials. And I think that, honestly, we could sit in front of a group of people that were in this profession and say, this is what we're trying to do. Tell me how you would propose doing that.
Sure.
And we might we might get something out of that.
Sure.
Right.
And here we are in a 7-page document, though, really laboring over questions that may be best answered in that kind of pre-proposal type meeting.
I've never had that experience, so I just don't know. To me, it's a little awkward when you get competitors and you're asking for their ideas around all the common.
What it does is it does level the playing field so that one competitor knows exactly what the other, I mean, they're not talking prices, they're not talking approach or equipment, methodologies, we're just talking about what we're looking for. You know, the type of questions we need answers for. And however their approach is, and you could say, here's some suggested things with maybe the fish, the whole fish, some of the, I mean, you spelled out crab and also mollusks of some sort. What we're looking for is, you know, you get those guidelines out there, and then you base your award off that criteria, how to respond.
Has the city had this experience before with bidding? Have you had
with pre-proposal meetings? Yes.
That's the way I always did it for Henry. I mean, we would get maybe 3 pre-proposals back, out of which, and guess who did the choosing? Not my boss, but guess who? And then, you know, 3 that made sense, and it sounded like they knew what they were doing, and asked them for full proposals.
But there's an extra step here where I actually suggested a pre-proposal meeting as the part that I'm trying
to. I've been to probably 100 of them, because from my line of work, you go to a university and bid on, you know, putting in their entire computer system and network, and you're in a room with 20 other contractors. And they just give you that basic outlines of who, what, when, where, and how. Not how, that's your job. How and how much. But you just give them the guidelines, some of the specifications, but we don't want specifications here, we just want findings. So the bidders conference would be the best approach, but we have to have that. That's why I started out with this, and you said 7 pages of just a description of what we want and how we want you to do it. Maybe eliminating that best practices, tools, and techniques.
Well, yeah. Okay, well, that's fine. Whatever approach is the best force field appropriate is fine with me. I felt we needed to get something.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's right. That's why this is called draft. But
then the question is, how much do we cut out? What do we cut out?
I think if you're going to take that approach, and I kind of like that approach, then it's more important to set out very clearly what you're looking for to learn in terms of the question we asked before. Are we looking to learn, is this seafood safe to eat, or do we want to know if there are apt to the ecological effects of contamination? And those are 2 different questions, and actually they're both interesting.
But they're not entirely unrelated.
They're not unrelated.
You know, if the seafood isn't safe to eat, I'm sure it's going to have some ecological.
Right, but the other way around isn't necessarily true.
But, you know, we treat the samples differently if we're only interested in what we're eating.
Yeah. But this actually outlines a lot of the selection criteria. Because the detail will help you, from a level playing field, evaluate some of the vendors and their approaches, what you're asking.
For example, the method detection limits are quite important. Some labs are not are able to work much more sensitively than other labs.
Mm-hmm. Right, but we will be getting that information in the proposals or pre-proposals, and be able to say, hey, these guys really aren't qualified. Yeah. I remember Celestial ones where, you know, these, how do you say?
Okay, so.
Yeah.
Where are we at?
We need to tell proposers what part of what organisms they would have to analyze.
Okay,
so what if we just kept it to the food chain and leave the human part out of it.
I don't know. Did we actually say human? Oh, we said seafood.
That's because of my bias. Okay. And I just didn't have the guidance.
So I personally think I felt from the beginning that the city is getting into issues that are rightfully DEQ's responsibility or somebody else's, not the city's. And if we're going to be better off keeping it general.
Uh-huh. We could just say marine organisms then instead of seafood. Make sure seafood's not in there. In which case, actually, he could probably do worms or something else like that.
Well, I don't think it's a bad idea to give him some ideas of... I don't think it's a bad idea for us to use animals that are typically those that people eat, but I don't think that we need to do it so that it's a...
an absolute.
Yes.
We don't want an absolute.
Yeah.
And actually, I think worms are a good idea because they're about the only thing that lives out there. I mean, just right around the
outfall.
Did
we have that in here as well?
I didn't include it.
So that comes to another question. Is these areas are mostly sandy bottom? There's some rocks.
Yeah.
But they don't all have rocks.
But so will well, can you catch black rock fish?
Yeah, we had to address. I mentioned that too.
That's your problem.
I don't know. I don't think that's a target species that we would put on there. I would, particularly because they move a bit too. I would recommend a flatfish. But we flagged that before. We just decided to talk about it at this meeting rather than. But yeah, I agree with you. I would think like an English sole or.
Any flatfish.
Or any flatfish.
More associated with the bottom, too.
Exactly, yeah.
So is flatfish the right word?
Yeah, I think flatfish is general enough because, they could encounter several different species out there.
Sure.
That would be suitable.
Could they catch one species from the discharge area and another species from the reference area?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so
I think the only area they may be challenged with flatfish, and actually I know they're there, they go to the right spot, is north of Yukona Head. Because it's a little bit more coarse sediment in there. I remember that from there.
Now I proposed, for instance, that I always thought that first reference area was too close to the discharge area. That's why I was suggesting the northernmost reference survey. But we're jumping along. First of all, I think we need to. That's fine to say flatfish, and it's fine. Then we would say whole flatfish, and we would. Do you want to do crab? I suggested three, but.
Oh yeah.
We could just say, for example. I hate to say a range of organisms, but say something that it's always possible that somebody will come back and say, well, I know for a fact that there's tons of X, Y, or Z out there, and they'd be.
They should. Sure, that'd be a better idea.
No. That would be a better idea.
You make it very general, sure. That's easy.
Yeah, I definitely like that approach because that way you let people bring their ideas to us.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you say that you'd like to have samples of animals that are likely to bioaccumulate?
Well, no, I think that's well, that's why that's why I picked the mussels, for example, because they will like accumulate things. But of course, aren't mussels moving down there? So I thought,
well, they are just inland from it. I mean, they're
well, that's why I chose the rose. Well, yeah, and I chose the razor clam just because they were a mollusk. That's the only mollusk I could think that you could get. Not
okay. So in the resolution, I'm just going to take a different approach here. We have animals, right? We have ocean waters, habitat, beaches, and animals. We talked about the waters with GP study really covers the waters, and it was just a big subject that would be duplication of effort. Habitat and beaches. Beaches, we also talked about, that would be covered within other studies. It would be also a duplication of effort because beaches, was that in scope or out of scope? I thought it was out of scope of this RFP. Is that everybody's understanding? I'm just going back through the resolution here.
Right.
Okay. So then it comes back to habitat and animals. Animals, we have flatfish, crab, razor clam, mussel.
Now, are razor clam available at depth?
They're in the pools off the beach.
No, but that's exactly the point. You're saying the beach is out of scope. So are razor clam available at depth?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
We scratch razor clams.
Or is razor clams, because we can define beaches as beach water, beach sand, but also maybe a beach animal. It could fall within that's...
I thought you just said beaches were out of scope.
Well, beach waters we knew were being tested.
Oh.
From either.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
so
I see what you mean.
Okay, so there's some like the state will test for what up to how far did the state go out when they test water?
Isn't the surf zone?
The beach coastal water.
Yeah.
The surf zone. Okay.
So, I was trying to think of the issue of the availability of test organisms.
Okay. So do we want to put razor clams in or out?
You know what? My recommendation is that if we're going to include razor clams, and where's our map? Then we just say, you know, razor clams adjacent to study areas and reference areas.
Okay.
Because that would include the beach, but that's going to be where you're going to get them.
That's where people take them.
Well, they're intertidal.
Yeah, I don't think that you're going to, I don't think that, I think you're right, I think they're intertidal. I don't think that they go at depth.
Yeah. So
I could be wrong, but
we're shifting away from the seafood concern. So do we really want to just stick and say we want to test animals that live in the mixing zones and limit the taking to the mixing zones?
And do you collect them, put them in one barrel, test them as a mass, or do you do them by species?
Oh, you do them by species, but. But do you want to get a I suggest we have three different phyla, but certainly flatfish is one. And then the question is, can you get any kind of a mollusk out there?
One of our earlier meetings, we were talking about the idea of suspending cages of mollusks.
Right. And we actually say it in there somewhere that there's a possibility.
We had added that to the last minute. That's the cage mussel studies are certainly a possibility, or cage mollusks. And
that might be a way we could address that, we could just do a benthic and fauna sample. That's going to get at food chain. You know, that's that's what flatfish are going to be eating. That's, you know.
Maybe we just want two types of samples, the benthic and fauna and flatfish. Cut the cost down.
I think it would be good to pull a species off the beach. And the reason I say that is because I don't care what the mixing zone model says, there'll be a study out here in a number of weeks that shows that all the water right here under south wind conditions transport north, inshore, and back down the beach again. That dye study, that's exactly what they found out. Mm-hmm. That where we thought that water was getting transported offshore at Yacuna Head, it's not. It's coming inshore and it's coming right back down the beach. So I think that there is good reason for us to be looking at the beach. And I think we just do that adjacent to our reference.
So do you like razor clams, or do they go after mussels?
I don't know that we... I think that we could just say benthic in fauna and samples of animals that live in the mixing zone, for example, and then list them that way. I don't know that we need to be...
Well, I like the idea of sampling mussels of some sort just because they're filter feeders and they're the most likely organism to show a signal if there is one.
Are there mussels available in all inshore of all three zones?
No. I mean, mussels are not are going to be on hard substrate. They're not going to be on...
No, inshore. So a beach doesn't have typically hard substrate for a mussel to attach to, I think was what I was trying to say. Okay. You'd be able to get one, you know, up here against this headland. And there may be a couple of rocks here that you could get. You could definitely get one off of one of the outfall diffusers. I'm sure that they've got mussels probably growing on.
Well, that would be interesting. So that you don't even have to cage them, you just go grab them?
Maybe.
Yeah, but that's 4,000 feet out, and you're talking about the shore.
Well, if there are mussels on the diffuser, that'll tell you whether there's going to be bioaccumulation in mussels. That's the worst case scenario.
Exactly, and that's what you want.
It isn't really, because if you've seen the movies of them, it just comes out and goes up. Right. I mean, but that's the general feeling of the public, I think, so testing it and showing what you find is a good idea.
We're talking about pretty complicated issues. We're talking about transport and dilution and just what is the exposure?
But something sitting right there on the diffuser, you know, is clearly going to get some exposure.
I think it's important scientifically for you not to infer these sorts of things, though, when we ask the question. You know what I mean?
It does compromise. We've been trying to do this.
Study design, when we go, well, I get something right off of the.
Yeah, I would say a case.
I do like the idea of looking at mussels on the beach.
And they are available at low tide. There are a lot of rock formations out there right off an eye beach, and there's plenty of mussels on them.
So on those rock formations, there are mussels then?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Okay. On eye beach then?
Yeah.
Just north of it. I've not been in eye beach, but the
there may actually even be within the river.
Me too, jump off Joe.
Some of those rocks may protrude that far out.
But mussels intertidal, not subtidal.
Right. So,
that's why I could go get them.
So,
or razor clams. I mean, there are razor clams just by the North Jetty. Far away from the
mussels on the rocks that were used for the access to build the outfall.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
That's right.
But what just for my own understanding, is it expensive to put a block of cement with mussels attached to them in that mixing zone, or?
And then you got to specify how long you're going to leave in there.
Oh, but that's the, no.
I just wanted to know, because one of, you know,
it's more expensive. It's more expensive than just going out and picking them off the rocks.
But I would think you'd have controlled duration of the mussel growth and how, you know, this is a 2-year-old mussel. And I know that because we planted it here and this, you know. Or could you just take a look at the mussel and say, you know, this is a 12-month-old mussel and this is the accumulation in 12 months.
Yeah, his birthday will be next week.
Yeah.
I thought that was harder to do, but I don't know about aging mussel myself.
I think you can do it by, you know, the rings.
But are we going to include that? Because that's now going to get expensive.
That's Brian Black to do it. I don't know.
We used to specify just by size.
We'll do that. We have the animals. We have flatfish, crab, razor clam, and then mussels, and we'd like to see some sort of a cage study or a native study of mussels.
Which one do we want to do, or both?
Well,
let them decide.
Option A, option B.
Right. How would we judge that question when it comes in?
Well, by a number of ways. One, if they just plain fluff it off and don't even touch it, then of course they're not going to do it. But one, if they actually give a reasonable, how do you say, scenario that sounds like they know what they're doing and they can take care of it, that's step one. And step two is cost. I mean, if it's sufficiently prohibitive, we may not even think about it at all.
Well, my pressure was, this is a high energy area.
Correct.
And it may be pretty expensive or uncertain if they'll even find their deployments.
No, that's not true, because I had the NAS out there at the one of the entrance, near one of the entrance buoys for the month of August in 2000, something like that.
And the end of the year was still up.
Yeah, but we had NOAA deploy it, no less. And then they had an acoustic release, so we wanted the instrument and the...
Those are all real expensive.
Yes, this is true. But when we finally wanted, you know, the cage back with the animals and the instruments in it, they went doing, and it released it all, and they popped up to the surface, and we put them all in.
But the question is, would you rather spend your money that way, or would you rather spend it on...
Well, let's see what their solution is, because you have upfront costs of this apparatus, and we're just, quote-unquote, renting it for our study.
That's the other thing, okay. Right.
So we can include that in the animal study, and if they come up with their best solution on a muscle answer, they can give us a cost alternative for native and planted. Going back to that, what you put together, so are we striking out? What are we keeping? What are we moving forward on? The objectives? You know, we took out some things within objectives number one.
But that was in detail, right? I think we're striking out a lot of what I put in there, which is fine, just making it very general.
Okay.
We just need to make sure we get enough guidance so Anne can do the job.
Well, objective number two is still relevant. We can just modify number one just make say exactly what it is in the resolution of... testing that, well, we can take out waters, but habitat, beaches and animals near the GP outfall and see what their solution is. Give some of the animals, here's some ideas that we have, flatfish, crab, razor clam, and so on. The bioaccumulation is observed.
I mean, we don't need to, I don't think, conclude habitat.
Yeah.
I mean, the GP study compared habitat between all three areas.
No habitat?
It did.
I found they were similar.
Richness and diversity and all that stuff.
Yeah, I thought this would be biocumulative.
We just say animals.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Not even plants.
Right.
Well, and the other animal, excuse me, that I'm interested in or would be interested in were the annelids. In other words, the worms, because they accumulate and they're out there.
But practically, how do you get enough biomass to even conduct the kind of sample?
Well, what kind of biomass of worms did they get in their community survey?
They got a lot. That was mostly what they got.
Did they get grams and grams?
Well,
they get milligrams and milligrams.
Oh, a worm is...
Polychaetes are huge, man.
Yeah.
Some big old fat polychaetes out there.
And they're going to get fatter because of all the ammonia.
Yeah, well, how do you collect them?
Grab sample?
Yeah, that's how they collected these.
Great. If you can get a tissue, I spent a whole year trying to get enough annelids for three samples.
Really?
Should go to the beach picking them out of the mud. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
I mean, leave it in available benthic and fauna. I mean, if they can't find anything, they can't find anything.
So in the animals, we put whatever's available, and whatever's available.
Whatever's available.
Could have Fred Meyer pick up the place. Okay.
I mean, do you guys want to, well, I guess that's the other question. Do we want to include benthic and fauna here? Other benthic and fauna organisms? I'm hearing from Anne, yes, she does.
Yeah.
I'm hearing from David, questionable whether or not we're going to get enough biomass.
Well, I think they have the information, the report that would show whether we get enough biomass or not. But, you know, that can't
well, you see, for different constituents, for the one that... One
you know, I'm never going to eat any of these things.
Well, when they could do 1 gram for metals, but they needed 15 grams for PCB.
This is mine.
Now, to but me, you, 15, and that's per mine. Sample.
Can't read it just like that.
Well, think of it being 15
it's a half
million,
an ounce.
So it's
28 grams in an ounce.
It's the bottom of a tumbler.
I was just saying 28 grams in an ounce, and you said how many? 15 grams in an
ounce? People have 15 grams for PCBs, for the organics.
So
that's half an ounce.
A quarter or something?
Yeah, I'm trying to think like weight-wise. Like
Half an ounce is not much.
Oh, right.
Well, a nickel weighs five grams. And so you need three nickels per sample.
As far as I could get.
Three nickel analysts.
So what else? What are we going to add? So additional.
Not many.
So we're going to add that as well.
Wait, do you have a list here?
Where are we adding this?
Yeah.
To this number one under objectives?
Yeah. We're just nailing down the animals. Number two is a self-explanatory statement.
But that one is. But I need to know where we're at on number one. To determine if there is bioaccumulation of effluent-borne pollutants such as phenolic compounds, PCBs, or metals in animals collected from the mixing zone?
That's a great question. How do we put that?
I don't know what these things are. Or more importantly, I don't know how big they are.
It's good to refer back to the resolution, and that's one way of doing it.
Yeah.
I think so.
So this is probably a little guy, isn't it?
Well, that may be, that effluent borne could be a red herring because they didn't find a lot of these things in the effluent.
No, it was dissolved in the mixing zone, so the mixing zone did the job. That's
it
mixed big thing.
It, right.
It mixed
diluted it.
As prescribed.
Right.
So what we're looking at is the accumulative effect.
Right, if something accumulated it, right.
So, okay, so I think that was a great question on number one. How do we modify the first statement on the objectives to incorporate animals? So determine if there's bioaccumulation of effluent-borne pollutants, and then just take it from such as and just say in the animals, or
well, we said in organisms is what we said.
It's easy to change that to animals.
Yeah. Okay.
So what you're taking out is
resins and lignin degradation products and changing organism
animals.
Is everything basically such as.
Okay.
What I have is to determine if there is bioaccumulation of the
foreign
such as. Wait a minute.
Resins and lignin degradation products.
Pollutants in animals.
Yes.
Collected from the blah blah blah.
Collected from the mixing zone, and get extended to the beach if we're gonna. Talk about razor clams.
Well, it's in the reference area.
And adjacent beaches or surf zone.
Well, I mean,
the beaches
are not
part of the reference
inside
area.
The reference area.
No.
From reference areas and adjacent beaches.
Yeah.
What about number two on under objectives?
Yeah, I think that still stands. Everybody agree?
Are there protocols for doing this kind of risk assessment?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it includes the variable of consumption of the animals. Risk assessment.
Well, okay, sure.
I mean, if they find a huge accumulation of something that the evidence nobody eats, the risk is zero.
So then that would be the risk analysis or risk that we would take from their identified risks. Right? Would that be the city's decision or the scientific?
I think that, again, this may turn up in, how do we say, the people who would be proposing, in other words,
leave it general,
yeah.
And let the
bidders
tell us how they would do it.
Do you want to leave then this phrase, including that of human health, because if you take that out, I mean, it seems like what's already in there covers that.
Okay.
So take out including that if you know.
Okay. I was thinking of the circulars, but all right.
And then number three.
Yeah, haven't we already?
Well, and that covers the beach right there.
Didn't we already add or adjacent beaches to one?
At the, yes.
Yeah.
So you could take that out.
You could take three out.
Well, but in the end, that's what you were asking for. In other words, the bottom line is that's what is wanted.
But it's included in number one.
But it's included in one, okay. If you're going to add adjacent beaches, then you've got anything they...
So is that one... So are we good on one... We've amended one and two and deleted three.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I could say on three is just the providing this data for the city of Newport in an electronic and written format.
Well, we can put that into...
That's your standard boilerplate or whatever?
Well, we can... What we'll do is we'll bring this document back to all of you for another look.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll hopefully have that in there.
Okay.
That's a deliverable.
Yeah.
Sure.
Then what about description of tasks?
I think that's telling them how to do their job, but...
Well...
No, you got to have something in there.
Well, and I mean, you need a scope of work. Is that what you're thinking the objectives would be?
The objectives are the really general part of the scope.
Yeah,
of
I kind of feel like maybe the descriptions of tasks is more our scope of work.
Okay.
But you could change it, sir.
Kind of regeneralizing a lot of that anyhow.
So just change description of task to scope of work. Do we want to be specific the way we are written here, or do we want to ease up on that?
You have to strike a balance between you can't be too specific,
right.
But you need to have some enough guidance so that they know where to head.
Well, do we want to specify we would like them to analyze, for example, phenolic compounds, PCBs, and then these 28 elements, or do we want to be more general?
Well, okay, we're getting rid of the lignin and the resins already, mm-hmm. again. We say such as...
You could say, compounds... Or species of concern, or compounds of concern are include and make a list. And I don't know, since it's not my field, how you specify the chemical analysis if you say we need 28 congeners of PCBs or what the best way to do that is.
Yeah, the such as is a suggestion.
So let the proposers say what they're going to do.
Yeah.
One of the analytical labs, I guess it was called Columbia Analytical, which is in Washington State, did have a section they called... what did they call it? The equivalent of Georgia Pacific outfall, kind of, not outfall particularly, but they looked at mill effluent, if you will, and mill process samples. And within that, I don't know what they looked at, but my suspicion is that some of these things might be in that list of theirs.
But nobody, without seeing that list, we can't evaluate it.
So we're okay with items and the description of tasks. Now, scope of work is item one through A through C. Item two, A and B, we're good with that as it stands?
I guess I changed it so that I cut out resins and lignin degradation products in 2B and then changed organisms to animals so it matched the previous page.
Mm-hmm. Oh, righto.
Okay. and then collect it from me. Perfect. Okay. So, I'm good with that. Everybody else good with that? Okay. Study site. Okay, so illustrated, that's reference area north of Yaquina Head, south Yaquina Bay jetties.
Charlie, are you okay with that selection of references?
Yeah.
Okay.
The point was to, originally there were what, four? There was three reference areas, right. There was an additional reference area, and I guess the trick was to try and cut the cost, potential cost down a little.
Okay, so then the next title is Target Recreational Seafood Organisms.
We've got to obviously change that. Target animals, I guess, is all we want to say there.
Are you going to say recreational?
No.
No. Okay, so target animals. And then you haven't been specific, though, prior to that, so do you want to be specific here?
I would think maybe not. We're changing the whole philosophy here, which is...
Or did we strike it up above at the very top?
Well, I had said...
We had resident indicator ones.
Yeah.
Ground fish, crabs, clams, or mussels.
Well, do we want to add in fauna?
I would add in fauna.
You want to add that also at the
1A.
Top?
Yeah.
1A?
Clams or mussels.
I would take ground fish, well, flat fish instead
of
ground fish.
Ground fish, we're going to say flat fish. Thank you.
Flat fish is a ground fish.
No.
Ground fish is
well.
Also, maybe epibits. Well, we. My flatfish, ground fish might include the rock,
the halibut,
and the
major
recreation.
They're included in the ground fish Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife portfolio.
Yeah, that's true.
Management portfolio.
That's true, but do we want to be more specific?
Flatfish.
Which segment of the ground
fish? I think
your
flatfish is good.
For sure.
Okay. So after mussels, do we say and in fauna and sediment and in fauna? I don't know what they were. And in
you're up on A one.
One A. Yeah, we're on 1A.
And in fauna after mussels.
Or clams or mussels
and in
benthic.
Benthic in fauna. Okay.
Okay.
So then, are we back down to target animals?
Well, on 1B, do we want to say grabs then? From benthic grabs, trawls, or cage experiments?
Because
that's how you said you got
from grabs, trawls, and cage experiments.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why we can't.
Hook.
Or do we want to say it? We don't even say anything.
Well, why not hook and line for that matter?
Yeah.
I think we can say any method, any permitted,
The organisms
method of extraction.
Animals used may be obtained from by
through any common permitted extraction method. We don't want them dynamiting the ocean, obviously. And there's rules about what they can and can't do as far as collection goes. And
pretty strict rules. Yeah.
Yes.
Where are you at? In
by what are
we jump back up here?
We jump to 1B. 1B.
Yeah, but what did you say by what sort of collection methods?
By any
collection method.
Permittable extraction method. Does that sound...
Do you want extraction or collection?
It says
collection.
Why don't you say collection?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So that what if the real people were reading this?
So evidence. So that would override the next one after target in that sample methodology and specification. So what you just amended up top would take that whole section out of methodology and specification, or is that still? I mean, you summed it up.
Oh.
Yeah,
oh.
I saw some that.
Take out 1C then, is what you're saying.
No. In other words, it's down here and up here both. And so
right.
He's suggesting we just delete this part.
Just say, oh, yeah.
And flesh out this part.
Delete what part? I missed that.
The sampling methodology.
Okay.
But or is it relevant? I just want
to... The first...
Oh, yeah. Well, this is much too specific. I mean, I guess we're pretty much going to throw out a lot of stuff.
Oh. Yeah, somebody's going to have to work this over a little bit. We're not going to do it in the next 4 minutes.
No, and what do you think? Can you do it in 4 minutes? No. I don't think
well,
so.
Well, I do better on my laptop.
Actually, I think you can, because I think you're just going to cut out. I think you're pretty much through.
Well, is it still, is the sampling methodology and specifications, it would be suggested sampling methodology and specifications.
Yeah, right? Why would you even do
no,
that?
The proposal will provide us with their with sampling
okay, so
methodologies and specifications.
Right.
Okay, so now we get sampling schedule, and that I think has to.
So, what are you going to do under sampling methodology and specifications? Yeah. Just ask
the proposer
to
specify
define
the methods they go to use. Isn't that where we're at?
Can we do this? Can either one of us or Peggy, if she wants to, just draft a short 2-3 sentences to go underneath this.
That's a good idea.
That says
there needs
something
to be
the extent of. This is what we expect to get back in the pre-proposal process.
So we are going to specify pre-proposal. That's important.
I don't think we'll have a pre-proposal. I don't think that works under our public contracting rules, and I only say that because if you're going to have a proposal is a proposal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
Well,
okay. So would it be sampling methodology and specifications, vendor to provide an outline?
I think we just said that.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me, proposer could describe, now I can wordsmith that, but basically we want the proposer to describe their sampling methodology and specifications, don't we?
Yeah. Are we going to propose a sampling schedule, or are we going to have a number, how many times are they going to do it? That would be important to let them know. You can do this once or twice or more.
Well, and that's another thing that you might want them to tell you.
Well,
or do you think
is there, since we're looking at bioaccumulation, that's presumably
a summer thing.
Presumably accumulation over a long period of time.
Maybe. Yeah.
So what's the value in
doing it twice? Yeah, I think do it back off to one because I think it's going to be. Just haven't proposed a sample.
Unless you just want replicates over time.
Yeah. Do we want to specify the number of replicates?
I think it's maybe we specify, scientifically robust replicates.
Do we want to propose a composite?
Do we need a statistical sampling design?
Well, you're not going to get it because. In my, because we don't know what the variance is.
Yeah,
it'd scare us off.
Well,
anyway.
You know, it's huge.
It's huge. It's not dozens, it's hundreds of samples required.
Yeah, right, that's right.
That's why I just picked the number, but give some idea.
Vendor recommendations on sampling schedule?
I think we've just said that we only want one.
Yeah. I think we decided what's
good. But I don't know quite how.
There is a finite amount of money. I don't
right.
know if
that's why
enough
I was,
or two. I don't know.
Right. I know, right off the bat. But the other thing that Pete pointed out was that we are looking at bioaccumulation. We want them to have sat out there one way or another to bioaccumulate.
So probably.
Let's ask Thinking for one. Supper,
what time of year is it would be best? Could we say
spring or fall?
That fall might be best because animals will have been resident and growing for actively for the longest period of time. I don't know.
Fall.
Could be a seasonal reference. Sure.
I think late. Yeah, maybe late summer, early fall.
You don't want to get into the winter.
You don't want to get into a bad sampling season, but you also don't want to overlap with a strong upwelling event.
Yeah, right.
So let's say late summer.
I put that down. So is it late summer?
Post upwelling.
Yeah.
I'll just say late summer, fall.
That's a bit my suggestion, late summer, early fall.
Late summer, early fall.
Okay, so does that take us back to sampling schedule? So everything else is cut?
I would think you'd cut this out because it was okay. The direction you don't want.
So the three sampling areas shall be sampled over the late summer, early fall, or worse method somehow, and everything else is gone?
Yep.
That's what I said.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if they end up sampling in a time period where recreational crabbing is they're going to have to get a scientific taking permit. Yeah. So they'll figure that out. So.
Okay.
Do we want to say anything about target analytes?
It's already in there, isn't it?
I guess, well...
We won't leave it there.
Yeah. I mean...
Well, where did you have that? Well, I was over on page 6. We probably...
Where's my page 6? I've lost page 6.
Presumably, you're outlining some standard procedures here.
Yeah, procedures have been recommended to me. Yeah. The question is, except for phenolic. Well, actually, phenolic compounds are included. So far in the objectives on page 3, we said, such as phenolic compounds, PCB, or metals. Do we want you say any more than that, or let them just propose?
I don't know. I think this is good, and I think sample type and number of samples needs to stay in, and I... I like that number of samples. Delete the two season part of it, but...
Do you like three species? Do you like 10 composites per site? Delete season.
Well, I think that we need to generalize it. A total number of sample that...
Resurgence in fauna may not be species at all. It may be mixed. Right. Same thing with fish. Right. You get it in any order. So three taxa, or do you want to say phyla? How do you want to do that?
I don't know.
If we don't give enough guidance,
stick with target, species.
So throughout, you mean?
So three target species?
Yeah.
Or three target animals? Or do you want to say that?
That's my opinion. We'd stick with that, and then we're going to cut edible tissue.
Are we going to have three target animals? Do we want 10 composites? Do you like that?
I'm assuming this is like from a standard methods.
I just picked because I went through the cost analysis and figured this could be done by some labs.
When's your next meeting?
I don't know.
I'll find
out. We will have to have one. Two.
Yes.
Okay. So,
thanks. Another meeting.
Yeah.
I mean,
do we have a stopping point to where we
usually stop at 7?
No, I mean, here. Do you want to get back to... Sounds like we're having more discussion on sample type and number of samples. If we can, just stop it up at this point. And then I saw, is there a next scheduled meeting 1 week from now, or is it 2 weeks from now?
Oh.
We set a date.
Have we been meeting every 2 weeks?
We've been meeting every 2 months.
Well...
Okay.
I had to have some vacation.
All right. Well, that is, let's just make that decision while we're here. And then.
I'm available next Wednesday if people want to meet. I already put it in my calendar and blocked it out in case we want.
Well, I think that would be a good idea if everybody can meet. Let's just get this done.
Get it done.
Yep.
Get it done. I like it.
Yeah. I'm available.
So Don is on the agenda for next week.
What is that date going to be? Today is the 17th. So it's the 24th?
Yeah, 24th.
Sounds good.
At 5:30.
5:30.
You know, I think that...
Can you announce that?
Yes, I can, but I'm thinking that it may conflict with another meeting that's right here at 5:30. So let me check that, and if it
does...
Why
don't we do the rug?
Surely.
Peggy can't go.
Peggy can't go.
Just be there.
We get that other meeting, too.
That's not fair.
So it's totally not fair.
You need a clone of Peggy.
So if I do have, if there is a conflict next Wednesday, I will let you know tomorrow.
We'll make it 2 weeks.
Okay, yeah, let me know as soon as, tomorrow is great, because I have to really schedule this meeting.
And 2 weeks would be really bad.
Yeah, because I...
that's Labor Day, kind of Labor Day.
Right.
Week.
Oh,
right.
That
well, that's not a problem.
I mean, it's Lake Waldo.
So, but I mean, the week of September 5th, which is Labor Day, so that would be, the 5th would be Monday, the 7th would be Wednesday. That would probably work if we can't schedule a meeting in between, but I hope we can.
Me,
it won't work for you?
I'd be in Portland.
All right, well, then we might have to switch days.
Okay.
About that.
What about next Thursday?
Tuesdays never worked for me.
Okay. How about next Tuesday?
What about next Tuesday?
It's not good.
Tuesday works for me.
It doesn't work for Ann.
Yeah, well,
let's see. No, I've got a meeting until 6 next Tuesday. I could be.
That's the 23rd.
Could we do it earlier? Oh, actually.
23rd and 24th. Oh, you said the meeting conflict on the 24th.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's another task force meeting. But but we could meet next Monday at what hour?
5:30.
Oh, that's an idea. Yeah. Okay.
Monday is not for me, but you can carry on.
Yeah, but we don't want to lose the
20th. That would be the 22nd.
Yeah, but if we don't have the participants here. There's no.
Well, you know what would be? Let's.
Monday may be in because I have to come in. My flight gets in at Eugene at 3:00. If I just drive straight here,
you just have to drive like a maniac.
By 5:30, you might. Well, it depends. You gotta get from the plane to your car.
Yeah.
It would be really hard.
It's Eugene, so.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let us know.
I will let you know, and then we'll try to figure if there is that task force meeting next week. We'll determine a different day.
Okay. So we stopped at the sample type and number of samples on this. I think it's great work you guys did. I apologize if there's any feelings of saying, wow, I did a lot of stuff and you're cutting everything out.
So are Dave, did you, Dave or Ann or Charlie, are you going to take this another step based on what we've done here?
Well, I guess we can or you can't.
Well, one thing that can happen is if I get this in a Word document, what I was thinking is I would just do some strike through so you could see what we deleted and what we added, so you could see the actual changes.
That'd be great. Yeah.
So if you send that to me in a Word document, we'll work
on it.
It
is a Word document.
You send it to me in a Word document?
Yeah, you sent it in a Word document.
That's all I've got is Word.
Thank you.
I couldn't have done it except in Word.
Well, usually everyone sends me something in PDF, and it's like, send that to me in Word.
No,
I can't deal with it. So.
Yeah, I hate that.
I don't do PDF.
It's because you get those lawyers sending you stuff, don't you?
Yes,
meeting
they
is
send
adjourned.
There's a reason why they put it in your PDF, because they don't want you to change
that's
it.
That's right.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's the opposite.
Thank you, and thank you, everyone.